And we're back, folks. This is episode 231 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal DeQuincy.
Hey, everybody. You know, every time we start the show and I give you the countdown and you're like, this episode, blah, blah, blah. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope I told him the right episode number.
So do I. I know what I'm thinking. What's going through my mind?
Well, I can say anything. He believes me. The fool. He has no access to the anchor site. He knows nothing. The fooly, fooly, fool. So how you doing, man?
I'm good. Just trying to beat the heat.
When I open up my weather app and I see high of 100 degrees for like 6-7 days straight, I'm ready to drop to my knees and just rip off my shirt and say, curse you, global warming. This is terrible. God, it's getting so bad. I'm like, maybe need to move out of Houston, head north somewhere. Because it's just going to keep, if it keeps getting worse and worse like this, I can't. I'm too fat for this.
How far up north would you go?
Out of Texas. I'm not kidding. I would like cooler weather. Find me a state with cooler weather, no state tax, and limited hidden racism, and I'll move there.
Indiana?
I said hidden racism.
Hidden.
I don't know. Did Indiana have a state tax? I don't know. I know Florida's off that list now.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you couldn't tell, we're just rambling on because, like I said, it's the dog days of summer. It's when content's the slowest. The only sports league that we care about going on right now is baseball. And even we'll admit we're not going to sit up here and talk about baseball every 2 weeks whenever we do this podcast, you know?
Yeah. I watched PTI like every day for the past 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't done in a while. And even they admit, like, hey, it's July. There's not a lot to talk about. Yeah. So let's talk about something someone tweeted or, you know,
a
specific moment in the second set of a tennis match. You know, it's like.
I've seen, like, Instagram posts from ESPN where they're like, oh, these five fictional basketball athletes will make one hell of a lineup. I'm like, oh, you guys have nothing.
Yeah.
I think I saw a clip of Stephen A. Smith. Someone called into his radio show talking about how his girl wanted him to satisfy her for more than 5 minutes. And Stephen went on a rant about that. And I was like, oh, Lord, y'all were just scraping the bottom of the bottom of the bucket. Okay. I ain't got nothing.
You're getting nasty now.
Yeah, some real nasty work. And speaking of some nasty work, let's talk about the Flash movie.
Ooh. Did you see it?
Hell no. I value my time. So I'll talk about the Flash movie because reports just came out, I think it was either yesterday or Sunday, that the Flash will actually make less at the domestic box office than the Green Lantern, the Ryan Reynolds 2011 Green Lantern, which I had the unfortunate pleasure of seeing.
Right.
It was god-awful.
Widely considered one of the worst DC, maybe comic book movies of all time.
Yes. And the secret beginning of the DCU, but it was so bad that you had to run it back with Man of Steel. So I'm First off, I want to say to hell with you, DC. You came out here, James Gunn. You stayed here. You were out here playing in my face, telling me this movie was going to be the greatest superhero movie. It's the best thing DC has done in forever since The Dark Knight. You had Tom Cruise out there saying it was cinema and it was great. And you lied to me. You had all these influencers come out here before the movie drops and say it was going to be great. And I knew it was going to be shit. I smelt it. I smelt the lies.
Well, I mean, is it really supposed to be that bad, or is it just reaction to Ezra Miller? And just like kind of a general just hesitance at anything DC puts out. Skepticism.
You know, that's a very good question. I think that's two of the reasons why it bombed the way it did. People don't want to see Ezra Miller in anything because they've been running around America treating it like a game of Grand Theft Auto. And people are just in a malaise when it comes to DC movies. Like, no one trusts them, no matter what they do, until it's an actual movie that James Gunn actually put his name behind. Like, he did the producing. I don't think it, like, the DCU or DCEU, whatever they're calling it still has that Zack Snyder stink on it. And until they actually put out good movies that people want to watch, like, have you seen all the casting choices for the Superman Legacy?
A few of them.
Yeah, so I like Superman. In fact, let me go Google that real quick. I can't believe they have the one that blew my mind is they got Nathan Fillion playing Guy Gardner.
Yes.
I'm like, that man is 50. How old is Guy supposed to be? How old is Hal Jordan? How old is John Stewart?
All right. Yeah, I mean, I saw the.
Put James Gunn in the Homeboy Hall of Fame because he's always putting not only Nathan Fillion in his movies, because he was also in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, he's also hooking up his brother. So you know what? I can't hate him as that.
So who is Guy Gardner supposed to be?
Guy Gardner is he's the third Green Lantern.
Third Green Lantern. Okay.
Yeah, he's like the fiery redhead who always causes fights and commotion, but he's the one who's always going to be there to have your back. So he's like, as a character, Guy Gardner is really interesting. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see it. But still, Nathan Fillion playing, I'm like, could you get someone a little younger? This is supposed to be like the beginning of Superman's career. Like, the first, I think, like the first 4 or 5 years of him being Superman. Can we get a Guy Gardner that's not retiring?
Yeah, I mean, everybody else looks to be pretty young. David
Cast.
Corns what?
What do you say?
David Corns what? Is that his name?
Sorry, my internet is going slow. Okay, there we go. Because he's playing Superman, right?
Correct.
I got nothing against him. I don't think I've seen anything he's been in.
No. I can almost guarantee I've never seen anything he's ever been in.
Lois Lane is played by Rachel Rose Rose
Brosnahan.
Rose Brosnahan. How do you say it?
Brosnahan, I think.
Okay, I've seen some stuff she's been in. She was in like a season of Blacklist. She was good in that, and her biggest roles has been in the Marvelous Miss Maisel,
Right. Was she
or
Miss
Mrs.
Maisel?
Maisel. Yeah, she was Miss. So, and she was
Yeah.
really good in that. So I got no problem. I like the casting Superman, Lois Lane. I got no problem with it. I would like to see it. Nathan Fillion being an old man. Okay. And let's see, they're gonna put respect on Edie, what's his Gallagher? Gallagher? He played Darwin in X-Men First Class.
Oh, yeah.
And they completely disrespected him in that movie. The character whose main power is he can adapt to anything, couldn't hold a fireball in his mouth.
Right.
So he'll be playing Mr. Terrific.
That'd be interesting.
And then let's see, Anthony Cardigan. I believe he's going to be Mephisto. No, Mephisto. What's his name?
Metamorpho.
Metamorpho. Yeah. And I've seen Metamorpho a couple of times in animated. So, and he looks like Metamorpho too. So, excellent casting there. So, like, I'm not really to where and let's see, Isabella Merced, and she's going to be playing Hawk Girl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to give the main characters, Batman, Superman,
Wonder
characters like
Woman.
that. Yeah, I'm gonna, I'm not gonna, count them out already without any kind of production, yet to have taken place. So.
Yeah, and they're doing what they should be doing. Like, you use your legacy character, your big name Superman, to bring people into the theater, and hopefully they'll get attached to these other smaller superheroes, and they're like, oh, Hawk Girl, or oh, Mr. Terrific, I would love to see more of his story. And then you take that over to Max, or have them be in another group movie somewhere down the road. So they're doing the right thing. Like, James Gunn is doing the correct thing, and I'm interested in seeing this movie, which
Yeah,
is
no, I am too.
I don't remember the last time I saw that said that by a DC, well, a connected DC movie. I
Right,
was
right.
really excited to see the Batman and the Batman sequel. I can't wait to see that. But as far as a connected universe DC movie, I'm interested in this one. I want to see what J James Gunn can do with his hand fully on the wheel. Now, the problem is we have no idea when this movie's coming out. Because no matter what James Gunn said about it coming out in 2024 or 2025, we have a little issue going on called a writer and actor strike.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking, if you were hoping for a May 2025 release, for example, I mean, you got to be looking at now October or November at 25 at best.
Yeah, because I don't know if you heard about the Miss Marvel news.
No.
Okay, so Miss Marvel was a Disney Plus TV show. ABC and the Disney is bringing it to ABC later on in the fall.
Really?
Yeah. And I know people like you can think, oh, they're just bringing it so more people can watch it, more people get eyes on it, so they can prepare
Oh.
people for the Marvel movie. And I'm like, no, that means they know this strike is going to last a while and they're not going to have anything to put on the
They
fall.
don't have anything going on. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like every project that was wrapped up and then the can, everything, it's going to play out. And then in the fall, it might be the excellent time for you to catch up on all the backlog of TV shows that you have.
Right.
Because this strike, like, I don't see this strike, either one, for the writers or the actors ending, honestly, before 2024.
And the writers have already been on strike for what, 2 months now?
Yeah.
I mean, and there has been no talk of progress in that, with that strike, that particular group.
Oh, did you hear the report? Some unnamed higher up was like, oh, we're just gonna wait for them to start losing their houses and
Yeah.
apartments, and then when they come, I'm like, okay, so you just want to be the complete bad guy. You just want to be on your Thanos Doctor Doom shit. Okay, I see you.
I mean, look, it's the that's the way to win it. You want to win it, that's how you do it. I mean,
Yeah, but
obviously, but to have the balls to actually admit it is like, all right, we're dealing with some we're dealing with some, pretty shitty people here.
it's terrible here because, like, the entire, like, in order to pay, I believe, the writers what they want, it would cost all the studios in total like 400 to $500 million a year. And I'm like, that's nothing. You wasted half that money on the Flash. Like, don't act like
Marketing.
you. Yeah. Don't act like y'all ain't got it. I saw how much money these CEOs of companies make. Like, over a 5-year period, David Zaslav, the head of HBO Max, everything, he made like almost a half a billion dollars
Jeez.
between getting his money he was paid, bonuses, and stock options. And so you're going to sit here and tell me that the people who write and
Create.
bring make the people who write the art, the people who perform the art, every you tell me those people aren't worth that money?
Got to be worth something. Otherwise, you don't have, you know. You don't have a business.
It's awful. Like, these people deserve to get paid the amount of money that they're asking for, and you just want to be cheap because all businesses have that. Oh, every year we need to be making more money, and we made a 5% increase. That was enough, and it's got to be 7 next year. And it's like, you at some point the you hit the end. Like, at some point you can't go any higher. It's like the same thing with Facebook, where Facebook is like, oh, we're trying to get as many people we can. Every year we're trying to do more and more signups. Like, at some point you're going to hit the end. Like, there's only so many people on earth that will sign up on Facebook.
Right. Well, that's a big reason why Facebook was, they still might, but I remember for a while, like there was talks of them heavily investing in Africa and, you know,
Africa, India.
where you know people don't have, not everybody has, you know, sufficient internet access, if internet access at all. And there's, you know, a billion people in each of those regions that is basically an un, you know, untapped, you know, consumers.
Yeah, because you've hit everywhere else. You're tapped out in America. And it's the same thing with these movie studios. Like, eventually you're going to hit the end. You can't make any more revenue because you've done everything. And right now you're just hurting yourself because you're not going to have any new shows, any new movies, nothing. Like, it was so bad. Like, as soon as the strike came down, all the movie stars that were walking the red carpet for Oppenheimer, they dipped. They had to
I had
leave.
to.
We're done with this. And so, how are you going to promote your shows? How are you going to promote your movies? How are you going to do any of this stuff without the people who are in the movies promoting
Right. And they're not allowed to do anything at this point, right? The actors, at least.
No.
I saw a tweet where there was a list of things that they're prohibited from doing, which includes, you know, press work, press junkets, you know, interviews, podcasts, any of that stuff. You know, that's crazy. I mean, that's everything we consume at this point.
What's even like crazier, like, they've even asked like content creators, you know, like people, lower people who do like TikToks and reels and all that stuff like that. They're like, hey, if you're going to like San Diego Comic-Con, wherever, please don't dress up. Don't give them that what's it called? That fan publicity. All right, just come and just,
No
I'm like,
cloud play.
yeah. And I'm like, if you can't get that natural publicity for your movie or whatever, or TV show, like, imagine a Marvel Hall H with just no one there, like, just pumped for it. Like, it just
Right.
kind of just sucks all the energy out of the room. Imagine Comic-Con where no nerds dress up. They actually wear deodorant and act like normal people.
Man, maybe something, maybe there is something behind this strike.
Oh no, we changed Anthony. Anthony's on the side of big business now. They were making nerds wear deodorant. All right, I'm all in.
Anthony's scab.
Yeah. We need nerds at conventions and wrestling fans at wrestling at house shows to wear deodorant and all be right with the world.
I'd leave my house a little more often if that were the case.
Yeah, I don't think either strike is going to end anytime soon. Because you go
Yeah.
back to the strike that the writers had was over a decade ago. That thing lasted damn near a year.
And it's not, we're not talking about pay increases for George Clooney and Jim Carrey and, Selma Hayek and people like that, They're really just looking for the people at the bottom of the barrel, Because the people at the top are always going to get paid.
And
Doesn't matter.
for every superstar that you see at the top, who's got their name on the marquee and everything, there's 100,000 people that washed out of Hollywood, and there's 10,000 that made it and just barely struggling. I think it said, like, in order to apply for health insurance as a member of the Writers Guild, you have to make like 28,000 a year, and there are writers who don't make that much. But the writer, oh no, those. That was the acting guild. I'm sorry. It's like the people, they just don't make that much. Because writing, I mean, because acting, being a background actor, it's a gig economy. It's like you get here, you do this shoot, and you're there for a week or two, then you have to go and hopefully find something else to do.
You have to be saying all the time.
And there's one other issue that I forgot to mention. I'm glad I wrote it down because I completely forgot about it. One big issue is what we're seeing spreading all over America around is AI, and the fact that these film industries are trying to get background actors to basically come in for a day. They scan their face, they scan their emotions, they do everything, and it's like, oh, well, now we own your rights, the rights to your face and likeness for the rest of time. Like, you're done. You get paid for that one day of coming in, and then you'll be at home watching Euphoria, and all of a sudden you'll see yourself in the background. Also, for all those people that downloaded that one AI app that allowed them to like use their face for like business headshots and like AI generate children, you too are going to be in the background of some TV show. Just wait.
They got you.
They done got you. Done got. I know y'all did not read the terms of service because we Americans don't like to read. So yeah, that's I think that's gonna be like, but even over the money, the residuals, insurance, everything, the threat of AI is gonna be the biggest hurdle for the writers and actors to get over. They're trying to use AI to replace the writers in the writing room.
That's insane. They're not off to a great start, that's for sure.
No, I've seen some of these AI scripts. They are terrible because AI can't really create. AI only takes what it knows and tries to jumble it around and make something new, but it's not really new. It's recycling. We'll see. I hope all you guys take the next couple of months to go watch everything that you missed out on Max and Peacock and Apple TV. There are some great shows on there. You have time to watch them now because ain't nothing else coming out,
All
baby.
right.
I spoke about Facebook and Meta earlier, and 2 weeks ago, while Twitter was having another one of their meltdowns, because Elon Musk is a whiny baby who can't program anything to save his life, Meta introduced Threads. Now, are you on the thread?
I'm not on the thread.
I'm looking at you. No, I'm talking to Anthony, but I'll answer you. Thread is like it's Meta's answer to Twitter. You sign up through your Instagram account, and the whole thing, it looks like Twitter, It only has like, instead of having like a, while Twitter has a For You page and a following page, it only has a For You page. So like you'll be scrolling down and it's algorithm based, just like Instagram. So just like Instagram, you'll see some influencer posts, but your friend, you won't see their posts for another 3 days. Yeah. So I'm on, I've used it for about 2 weeks. I've been on there and I gotta say it's all right. It's not a Twitter killer. I'll tell you that right now. It's not like the thing that's gonna knock Twitter out and completely ruin it. Elon Musk is gonna do
What?
that. Threat is it's nice. It's like I said, it's Twitter light, so it's okay. One of the best things about it is like their ability to mute and block someone. Because on Twitter, you can mute and block someone, and then you'll see their post on your retweet on your page like 5 minutes later. If you block someone on Threads, it's like you toss them into another dimension. You'll never see them again. So that's good. But they still got a long ways to go. Like the CEO who's running Threads, I don't remember what his name is. He said he basically lists all the things they need to do. Make the For You. It doesn't have a website, like a web presence. The only way you get on it is on your phone for the app. Well, that's
And the
another.
only way to delete it, from what I heard, I don't know if this is true or not. The only way to delete it is you have to delete your entire Instagram account.
I think they upgraded to where it doesn't have to do that anymore, but still, the fact that that was a thing was completely
It's
stupid.
insane.
Yeah.
So does this, I mean, so if it's like Twitter, what do people talk about?
The biggest issue is like you can't really
Debate.
follow. Well, that might be good because some people have stupid debates. We already know that.
Sure.
But it still needs to be fixed. Like, so you can talk to your friends back and forth like you do on Twitter, which I believe is happening and will probably happen before football season starts. So that, but the point of like, oh, you want a place that's kind of Twitter, but not as toxic as Twitter.
Yeah, I get that. But my thing is, toxicity is always going to find its way.
Yeah, because it's in human nature.
Right.
But I think the one thing I'll say is like I said, it's their ability to just block or mute people and you never see them again.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's,
Like I got on there and it was like, oh, and somebody had re-quoted Donald Trump Jr. And I was like, okay, well, this person's gone and that doofus is gone and I'll never see him again. It, like I said, it still needs to be upgraded. It still needs the following tabs so you can just talk to people you follow. Also, there's no DMs, and I don't think there will be, which
There's
is
DMs everywhere else, so it's like,
yeah. The they got a problem with bots, I'll tell you that.
already?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because, like I said, it's connected to your Instagram. So you can go to someone's thread page, and then at the top right, it has a button for your Instagram. So you can hit that and go to that. So you hit the Instagram page, you go to the page, and you can tell it's a bot easily. There's a person with one picture, there's a link up there that you will not touch for any reason. So it's already, the scammers are already there heavy, but they were already on Instagram heavy, so there's no surprise there. Overall, like I said, it still has some work to do, and it's gonna, I think it's gonna be fine. It's not gonna kill Twitter. It's not. It's gonna be there just to be. And it's like these new social media sites, they're like the streaming sites. Like, so Twitter is Netflix. It's the old guard. It's been there. People still use it no matter how much it screws them up. You know, Netflix keeps raising the price, dropping shows after two seasons, and the password sharing thing. And then Twitter's like, you got the rate limit and toxicity and everything like that. But people still use it because they're used to using it. Threads is like Disney Plus. It has the name and backing of a company that you know.
Wouldn't trust them though.
Yeah. And so you know the names. You can sort of trust. You can trust.
No, you can't.
Well, you can't trust either right now. Disney
Oh, yeah.
kind of fucking up with these strikes over here right now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, go read Bob Iger's comments if you're wondering what I'm talking about. But it's like this is new shiny thing. It's like, oh, it has the backing, it has the money of Disney slash Meta, so it's gonna come in and people think it's gonna kill. It's like, no, it's not gonna take out the old guard. It's gonna be there and people are gonna use it and they're gonna enjoy it, but it's gonna be there as a companion. Like, it's never going to take out, like, Disney Plus has never taken out Netflix. Threads has never taken out Twitter. Netflix and Twitter will take themselves out before someone else comes in.
Right.
And then the other sites you have, let's see if I can name. There's Mastodon.
What is
There's,
that?
do you know what Discord is?
Yes.
All right, so it's like Discord, but a little bit more difficult. So I don't like it's. Like, if you're already into tech and everything, like, you understand it, but it has a like a steep, from what I've heard, like, I'm not on any of these raggedy third person sites. It's like, it's just a little bit more work than Discord. So while some people get into it, it's going to be too high tech for other people to get into. So you got that. You got Blue Sky, which is like, it's Jack Dorsey's, no relation, Twitter replacement, but it's invite only. Then you have another one which is called Spill, which was created from the black Twitter employees that got fired by Musk. And so those three, Mastodon, Spill, and Blue Sky, they're gonna be out here like Peacock, Apple Plus, and what's that one looking? Basically, huh?
Max.
Oh, Max now. Back when I had the HBO Max, that means something. Used to be strong to Discovery Bob. But yeah, they're gonna be like the third person. You're gonna come in, you're gonna look around, be like, you like or not. But the biggest issue with both Spill and Blue Sky is like they're both beta, so they're invite only, right? So it's like by the time they're like, oh, we're ready for everyone to come in, it's like, well, I've either A, said I'm going down with the sinking ship that is Twitter, or B, I'm Threads, baby, I'm not moving anywhere. So, like I said, everybody's gonna find their place to go. Some are gonna be better than others. I'm just gonna watch as the world burns.
Yeah, I mean, are you really missing out on anything by not being on any of these new social media sites?
No, not really, because they're not 100% yet. Like, I really believe Threads wasn't supposed to come out for another month or two, but they saw all the issue that Twitter was having when it was doing this whole, oh, you can only look or reply to so many tweets a day and then you get shut out thing. And they're like, oh, we need to take advantage of this
Right.
moment. They jumped in.
Take advantage of the outrage.
Yeah, take advantage of it. And then as soon as Threads popped up, like, oh, that rate limit thing that Twitter had disappeared overnight. And Elon's trying to sue Zuck over Thread saying, well, you took so many of the people I fired and brought them over there, and now you built this competitive site. Meanwhile, when he fired all these people, he told them goodbye, good luck, go build whatever. And now that they did, now he's got his panties in a twist. K-Town don't like Elon Musk.
What's that?
Can you tell I don't like Elon Musk?
Yeah, no, I get it. A lot of people don't. I don't like any of them. I'll just be honest. I mean, look, like that's how I feel. I don't like any of them.
Yeah, I don't like any billionaires.
Yeah. They all, yeah, it's debate for another thing, another time, but
They all stink. That's why they suck
right.
diddly up.
Yeah. That's why I want to see them fight.
And now they won't fight because apparently Elon's mama said no.
God.
Coward. Hi, mom, you hide behind your mama? You sucker.
That's like Chubbs Peterson from Happy Gilmore.
My mama said I can't fight, so I can't fight. Ah, yeah. There's a child in the room, so I'm not going to say it, but. You female dog, you. Right, we got about 15 more minutes left in this podcast. I know you gotta get up out of here. So let's get to our last two subjects, baseball related. First, we want to send out well wishes to ESPN's Jeff Passan. Almost
Good God, yeah.
got taken out by a tree.
Man,
A
couldn't
little.
believe when you told me. I was like, what? This is.
As we call in Texas, the old Greg Abbott.
Yeah.
The good news is, oh, let me tell you, if people don't know. So, Jeff was up in Kansas City where there have been some storms. He was cleaning up, and a tree limb fell off and landed on him and broke his back. Now, the good news is he has all feeling and use of his extremities. Yeah, it's a broken vertebrae, so as soon as he recovers, he'll be up and walking around again. So, thank God for that. But he did say like he's hoping to recover soon, get rid of his pain, or else he's gonna have some crazy drug related tweets coming out during the
Oh
MLB trade deadline. That man go, oh, if he takes a couple of Vicodin and starts tweeting. You gonna have Shohei Ohtani traded back to the Japanese leagues.
right.
He's gonna be off the perks. He's gonna be gone. But yeah, I was just talking about that man just sending well wishes.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That is scary stuff. Can you see a tree limb and like you don't think about how heavy they really are until you are up close and personal and try to budge a tree limb and you think you're strong and the goddamn thing won't budge?
Tree, you're like, oh, I'm strong. That tree limb's like, I'm 256 pounds, baby. You ain't moving me. We're gonna get a lift, some friends. Move when I want to move. So, real quick, brought up the trade deadline. So, got 10 minutes. Let's talk about the one thing that all of baseball is talking about right now. Where in the world would Shohei Ohtani end up after the trade deadline at the end of this month? I don't know if you saw the last couple of games with the Astros and the Angels. The second and third game gave me heart palpitations.
All right. I mean,
We'll know within a week or two if where the Angels' heads are, because if they go on a 9-game winning streak, they may think they're still in it. 9-game losing streak, they'll be sellers. So what do you think?
man, this really is the $500 million question
I
that
see what you did there.
I mean, there's an argument to me. There's an argument to be made about either case, for either case. Like, but I think at the end of the day, if you're Artie Moreno, you got to keep him and try and re-sign him because then you lit then there will be nothing. Not even Mike Trout was this has ever been this popular, where he was must see, and everybody bought into it. He's Mike Trout's always been must see, but not ever they never fill the stadium because of Mike Trout, unfortunately, because as great as he is, he still didn't have that draw. But this guy is must see every single night, and he has lived up to it, especially this year. And if you give up on it, then you're giving up on this year and at least the next 2 years.
My
And
comment.
also,
All
one more thing.
right.
Are there really enough prospects? Enough? Is there really enough compensation you can get in return for this guy? I don't know if there is at this point.
So my counter is, I don't think they can re-sign him. Think he was at the All-Star break. He was talking to reporters and said, "I'm tired of losing."
Right.
What about this Angels team make you think they can win anything within the next, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years?
Nothing, not one thing. But
Because they have to bow the Astros. The Rangers look like they're going to be here for a while, and the Mariners are having a down year, but they can bounce back in next year and the year after. Like, I don't see, like, they've had two of the greatest players in this generation and haven't finished over 500 with them. They've got bupkis and they're both getting older. Like, I love Mike Trout. I'm the president of the Mike Trout fan club,
Day
but
one. Day one.
If you think that he's going to play 150, 160 games a season, you're insane.
No, I mean he's already proving that he is not going. He is not the same player that he was 3 seasons ago, even.
So I'm saying when Shohei Ohtani leaves, if the Angels keyed him, he's leaving, and you get that compensation pick. I think it's between the first and second rounds. Congratulations, there's a guy that you can draft that maybe is good in 3 years. Meanwhile, if you trade him, you can get players that have been in minor league system for years, that have produced, that have played well. You can get them, and you can restock your team. Because I was listening to who was it was A-Rod, Derek Jeter, and David Ortiz on one of the All-Star game panels. They were talking, and I gotta say, I would never expect to say that A-Rod, Jeter, and Ortiz together was a good listen. But I'm like, oh, I would like to hear more for this guy. And A-Rod basically like, what they need to do is trade Ohtani, trade Trout, rebuild, and get a new owner. And I'm like, he's spitting real facts, because they ain't winning with none of those guys.
No, I agree. I agree. But, if you want to have any interest in your seeing your ball team, your ball club, you got to open up the purse strings, and look, if Shohei passes up on $500 million from the Angels, then you just have to live with the compensation pick. But at least you can say we tried, right? At least we put up an effort. We offered him more money than anybody, and he didn't bite.
I would
But I
be
think it's
like,
better than just rolling over and dying at this point
I'd be like,
for a
look,
guy like this.
we're going to trade you. We're going to get some guys in here that can start, that we can evaluate for the rest of the year, and they can come in and play next year. And then we're going to do everything we can to sign you and bring you back. We're trying to double dip.
You could pull that off, yeah, then do that. But
So two part question. The first part is, do we think that Shohei should be traded. You said no. I said yes. Do you think Shohei will be traded?
I don't think he will be. I don't
me neither. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah. And look, just because I picked he shouldn't be traded just so we could have the discussion. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I think everything you said also makes sense. I mean, this is what makes it the most debated topic in baseball in the past, I mean, probably 5 years now. Yeah. But like, at the end of the day, do I think he will be traded? No, I think Artie Moreno is crazy enough to stand pat and say, look, here's $500-600 million. Take it or leave it.
And I don't think he wants to be known as the owner who traded away. The GM doesn't want to be known as the GM that traded away Shohei Ohtani. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be traded.
No.
So he'll be, we both ended up with the Angels.
When the comparisons to Babe Ruth begin and are legitimate comparisons,
honestly, they're lacking because he's better. Babe Ruth wasn't throwing 97 on the black, all right?
Yeah. Yeah. But once those comparisons are made, mm-hmm. you can't afford to be that team again. You can't afford to be the Boston Red Sox.
I agree with you. So,
last question. If anything, the Angels, if anything, will go down as having won a title at least one time in their existence, correct?
2002.
Two? Right. Something like that?
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah. So, you've won a title for sure. But you can't let that be overshadowed by giving up the greatest player of a generation, you know, in a generation of any generation at this point, potentially.
I want to point out that title is old enough to drink. That was 21 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So we both think he's staying with the Angels, even though I think he shouldn't. So let's go into next year. So again, two-part question. Where do you think he's going to end up and where do you think he should end up?
Oh man. I think the obvious is he'll probably end up in Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But why not go to San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco literally tried to give all the money away to all the free agents last year and came up bupkis, right? So they have the money to do it. They are still a competitive team. And it's a better run organization than the Angels, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're looking to stay on the West Coast, if you're looking to get paid, if you're looking to compete, I think San Francisco is the place to go.
So we both agree that LA, the Dodgers, is where he's most likely going to end up.
Correct.
And you say the Giants are the place he should go.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a team that he should go that would make them World Series contenders for the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
And I told you before we started that it was not going to be the Astros.
Right. Was I correct on my guess at the time?
No, but it is a National League team.
Okay.
It is the Atlanta Braves.
Of course.
The Atlanta, I know you're thinking like Atlanta Braves, they have the money for that. Well, first off, they pay everybody $7.25 an hour plus tips.
Right.
Also, next year, they can clear about $40 million if they decline the options on Charlie Morton, Travis Dennard, Colin McHugh, and Kirby Yates. That's about $39 million, $40 million right there.
And about 39, 40 years old in age.
Well, just about, because Morton, like right now, Morton's 39, Dennard's 34, and both McHugh and Yates are 36. So, yeah, I just freed up almost $40 million. You say Shohei is going to make $50 million. All you got to find is $10 million. There you go, Atlanta. I just did it for you.
Look, that is that would be it's game over right there. Even for our hometown nine, unfortunately, because they have you if you pair him with Ronald Acuña Jr. and everybody else in that lineup.
Austin Riley, Matt Austin.
Ozzie Albiles. And then
Yep.
he's also the anchor of your pitching staff, which is already good with, multiple 20 game winners.
Yeah. Otani plus Spencer Strider.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it because I was trying to stick with the West Coast.
Oh, I believe you stay on the West Coast too. I was thinking
Yeah.
about this earlier. I'm like,
Fantasy booking.
I'm thinking about this earlier. Like, if he really wants to be a winner, there's only two teams that he should really be talking to. That's the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves.
Right.
But the entire offseason, all we're going to hear about is every team on the West Coast plus the Yankees and Mets. That's all we're going to hear.
Yeah.
Even though none of the teams I've mentioned have won a title in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And no, the Dodgers 2020 title does not count for this conversation. Win the real ring, you bums.
What title?
Exactly. That's the title. It's got an asterisk on it. Oops. All right. So we both believe he's going to the Dodgers next year, even though both of us agree that there are better teams out there for him. But,
Yep.
and we both believe he's going to be staying with the Anaheim. Los Angeles, the Angels passed the trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we agree sometimes. All right. Anything else you want to say to Pete before we get out of here?
Thanks for tuning in as always. We're recording this on Monday night. Thursday, this Thursday, July the 20th. Yeah, I'm hosting trivia at Star Sailor, 1718 West 18th Street in Houston Heights. Starts at 7:30. Filling in for our good friend John Civi. So, or 1710 West 18th Street, Houston Heights. And come on out. Should be a good one.
Yes, should be a good one. All right, we gotta get up out of here. Thank you all for listening, downloading, sharing all that. I greatly appreciate it. If you listen to this, leave a 5-star review. That helps us very much get the algorithm working in our favor. And we're just gonna keep this little pirate ship going as long as you guys keep listening.
Absolutely.
All right, for Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Later.